2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see that? The veil has been removed in Christ. We have been circumcised in heart to Him. So we can just now call Father, Abba Father. He sent the Spirit of His Son, amen, into our hearts crying out, Abba Father. We've been connected, reconnected in the vine. We have relationship now in the Spirit. We don't have to call God down from heaven, amen? We don't have to call Him up from the grave. But the word is nigh thee even in thy mouth. It's the word of our confession, the word of our faith. You believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Yeah. And so it's simply a word that we speak. It's a word that we declare. It's a word that we confess. As we confess in agreement with what the Spirit is confessing, we need to find out what God is saying and say those things. We need to see what He's doing and do those things. We need to be one. We need to be integrated in such a way into Christ that we need to be so saturated, so filled with His presence that we automatically know what God's up to. Are you with me? And we know in part, and we prophesy in part. So this knowledge of what God is up to comes corporately as well as individually. We need the body of Christ. We need the different giftings to be in operation. None of us have the whole package. We do in the sense that Christ makes us complete and we're complete in Him. But it's the Spirit who gives severally as He will. He gives as He chooses. And we have to simply cooperate with the Holy Spirit as an individual part of a corporate body. But when we move corporately, you know, with the Spirit, we are powerful. Yes. We affect change. God is very much into organization. God is very much into a body of believers working together, rowing in the same direction, setting their eyes on the same prize, and that prize is Jesus Christ. And so we are looking at Jesus, fixing our eyes on Him. As we behold the glory of the Lord, it's as if we are looking into a mirror. And what we're actually doing is we're seeing a reflection, I want you to hear this, of what we're supposed to look like. When we are looking into the face of God, we are seeing ourselves the way we are supposed to look. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. We are supposed to look like God. We are to be Christ-like. As we look into His face, we reflect. Amen? We see the reflection. We begin to see who we are in the face of our Father. God created man initially, originally, what? In His own image. But man, amen, and His image became marred through sin. Aren't you glad? I want you to hear this. God did not leave us in a marred state. Jesus came to redeem us, to bring us back into alignment, into order, into integration with the Father, that once again we will bear the image of the Heavenly One. I know some of this is, you got to think on it. This is not heresy. This is the Word of God. This is what God is trying to say. Is He wants us to look like Him in the earth. And you're not going to look like Him until you learn who He is. Amen? We're learning of Him. And as we learn of Him and as we have a revelation of who He really is, we begin to see who we really are as we are reflecting that image. Come on. God made us in His image. And in the beginning, God made man out of clay. Right? And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. How many know that Adam was literally clothed in God? He wore God like a garment. That's why it was when he sinned against God, the righteousness of God was gone, and they knew they were naked. They actually were clothed in him. We didn't need fig leaves, amen? We don't need... Oh. Yeah, well, actually, we do. But in a spiritual sense. You know what I'm saying? But what happens is we try to clothe ourselves our own way. Our good works, you know, our performance. Surely God will accept me based upon how good I am. You know why God accepts us? Because he sees his Son. He sees the image of Christ. He sees, amen, the perfection of Christ. It's not because of our good works. It's not because we're do-gooders. It's because God saw that we were depraved, that we were in a marred state, that we had lost sight of who we really were. We lost our identity, and we received an identity that the devil had given us. Worthless, stupid, ugly, whatever it might have been. We received an identity that man had given us. Told us this, told us that about you. You know, picked on as a kid, whatever it might have been. Everybody, I think, got picked on at least once growing up. But things were said, things were spoken into us that were hurtful. Come on. Words are powerful, and words do carry power. Amen? And power to mar one's image of themselves. And so the blood of Christ was shed. Amen? To eradicate every curse and every word that was spoken, and to bring light and revelation through the Spirit who we received after we had received the cleansing of the blood. It was only by the cleansing of the temple that we could now be bearers of his glory. Amen? That we could be filled, that this temple could be filled with his glory. And we receive a new nature, a new identity. We are Christians. We are followers of Christ. And we bear the image of the One, amen, who formed us in this new nature. And the more that we look into the face of Jesus, the more that we focus in on Him, to learn of Him, to know Him through prayer, through worship, through the Word of God, through intimacy, the more that we reflect His image in clarity. People look at us and there's a family resemblance. Isn't it true? Amen. You've heard it said many times that, you know, boy, you look familiar. I've seen you. You go into a church you've never been. It could be on the other side of the country. And you go in there and you see people that look familiar in there. Yeah. I know. I see Jesus. I see Jesus in you. There's a family resemblance. For those who walk in the Spirit, there's a likeness here, folks. There's something about it. You know what I'm talking about? You can go into a store, and if somebody's really walking in the Spirit, you can look and say, now that's a believer there. Wow. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to so look like Jesus, because we are to be Jesus to the world. And we are to bring the world to Jesus. So, with this unveiled face, because remember the Lord Himself, through His broken body, tore, amen, that veil in the temple. What it was saying is that the way into the most holiest is now open. The sin problem has been dealt with. Jesus finished the job. And now, in Christ, we are no longer under bondage to sin. Sin shall not have dominion over us. Because we're not under the law, but we're in grace. And so Christ in you is the hope of glory. He's my glory, as the psalmist said, in the lifter of my head. Many of the things that David sang and even spoke of were actually prophetic. They were future telling too, of the glories that would come upon the church of Jesus Christ and the things that we have today available to us in the Spirit, that now the veil has been removed, and so now we can behold the Lord with the eyes of our hearts. We may not see with natural eyes, but with the eyes of our hearts we can behold His glory. And when you understand something, a revelation from the truth of the Word, you say, oh, I see. The light came on. You see. You're seeing a little bit more of Christ. You're getting another glimpse of Christ. And the more that we get this knowledge of Him and the revelation of Himself to us, the more that we begin to look like Him. That's why the devil works so hard to keep you out of church, to keep you from listening to the Word, from reading the Word, amen, and to keep you from His presence in the sense that you are acknowledging Him. You are paying attention to Him. You are walking with Him. So isn't this cool how God has just done this awesome redemption and brought us into union with Him, has placed His Holy Spirit in us, and has called us sons and daughters. And now the life we live by faith in the Son of Man, amen, the Son of God, in Jesus who gave Himself for us. I don't trust myself, I trust God. Amen. And when my life is integrated into God, then I can have confidence in myself too. Why? Because there's a oneness that takes place. Do you see it? It's about being one in Christ. I can preach the best when I'm one in Christ. Amen? When I'm not kind of like bouncing in and out. And how many know what I'm talking about? You encounter somebody. It's a divine moment and divine encounter. The Spirit of God is just completely filled and saturated your being, and everything that you're saying and you're speaking is a direct revelation from the Lord. The Holy Spirit is speaking right through you. Why? Because you're one, you're integrated, you're holy in Him. See, God doesn't want us two people. He wants us one in Him. And He wants the mind to come under authority, come under submission to the Spirit as well. We have the mind of Christ. We've been given the mind of Christ. So the natural mind has to be subservient, has to come under the mind of Christ. And again, this is so awesome that we have been given this privilege of being carriers of the very glory of God. You know, we overuse that thing, God won't share His glory. Come on, with anyone. What did Jesus pray in John 17? That the glory that I have may be in them. We're living in a different dispensation. We're living in a time when God is pouring His glory into His church. Amen? And He does it through Christ who's in you for the purpose of revealing His glory to the world.
That's right. Right on through. Hallelujah.
So it's not something you have to grab after. The problem is our sin nature sometimes wants to grab after something for pride. Amen? And for ego.
Yeah.
But that new man in Christ is in the glory of God. And so that's what we want people to see. It's not about me, it's about Jesus. But it is about me and Jesus being one. And that's why we can appreciate one another as individuals, as people, because God made you the way you are, because He loves you the way you are. And He wanted you. He wanted you to be here on this planet. So don't feel like, I'm just nothing, I'm just nothing. No, you are something. Come on.
Amen.
See, isn't it true that we have adopted a lot of this junk that's been tossed around the body? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm just unworthy of anything. See, we've been fed that. And I want to tell you, that is a lie. When the publican and the Pharisee stood up, amen, one boasted in his own accomplishment, but he was boasting in himself in his flesh. and what he thought he could accomplish in himself to be right with God. But the publican beat his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he went down to his house justified. He humbled himself under the mighty hand of God, and God forgave his sin. The cross is a transition point where we leave death and we enter into life. We die, we're buried with Christ, but we're also risen with Christ. We're on the other side of the cross, folks. And you are worthy. Because Christ makes you worthy. God thought you were worthy enough that He sent His Son to die for you. God loves you that much. Are you hearing it tonight? Come on. This gets tossed around. And what it is the devil is beating up on people. And tell them you're just a worm. You're just a sinner. And a lot of people go, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And they're totally consumed by their lust and their sin. And they're going around confessing, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I really wonder if you're saved by grace. Because my Bible says that sin shall not have dominion if you're in Christ. It doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. It means that we don't have to sin. It's a matter of choice, isn't it? We can choose to go out and sin all we want, but there's consequences. If any man be in Christ, he is a... Old things have passed away. I believe what the Bible says. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In other words, the life I now live, I'm now living according to the new nature created in Christ Jesus. I'm walking in unity. I'm abiding in Christ. And as I abide in Christ, amen, I'm going to reflect His image. People are going to see Christ as we worship. Why are we instructed to be stay filled with the Holy Spirit? So that the sanctification of the heart stays that way, amen? It's a constant denying or a death to self every day. You say, no, I'm not going to allow the dead man to resurrect because he wants to. And so as we receive the knowledge of God, amen? That's what theology means. It means the knowledge of God. As we receive theology, the knowledge of God, our eyes are open to realize who God really is. That's why theology is important. The right kind of theology. Because if you don't get the right theology, come on, you're going to have a marred view of who God is. And as a result of that, it will reflect in your life. It will reflect in your life. What you're sitting under, what spirit you sit under, that's what you're going to receive of. We are God's people. We are the church. We are called out. We have been separated, sanctified in heart by the Holy Spirit. So that we in Christ, amen, can reflect His glory, His image. As we do what? As we look into Him. As we abide in Him. As we inquire. Lord, I want to know You. Reveal Yourself to me. Because the more I see Jesus, the more I look like Him. The more we see Jesus, the more we look like Him. God wants us to look like Him. When I say that, I mean, sometimes people will look like, huh? It's because people have never heard this. Instead, they've just felt like they've always been this worm that God happened to have mercy on. Well, that's true initially. But if any man be in Christ, which life are you going to live out of? You're going to live out of what was and put a patch on it, or are you going to just step out of that life and walk in the new one? You see the difference? Yeah. You can't put a new patch on an old garment. Yeah. Either you're in grace or you're under the dead. You're in life or in death. When we are looking into the face of God, we are seeing ourselves the way we are supposed to look. That was cool. Thank you, Jesus. We are supposed to look like our God. Isn't God amazing? I mean, this is so cool. And it's a delight to our soul. Now, Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now, we know that we've also been ascended with Him. If we've been raised, amen, with Christ, if we had a first die. Now, if a person doesn't die with Christ, they're not going to be raised with Him. They've got to be born again. But if you've been born, if you've been through the cross, if you transitioned through the cross, you're now to live in an ascended life where we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the Word of God. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, the measure that we receive of the spiritual blessings is the measure of our faith. What we want to believe about the revelation God gave us. How far do you want to take it? How far are we going to believe it? Are we going to believe it just to where it's predictable and comfortable and within our grasp? Or are we going to let God take us beyond ourselves into the place where He is? Where we begin to hear thoughts that are higher than our thoughts. We begin to speak words that are bigger than our words and higher than our words. All we're doing is cooperating with the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing. God will give us things. He will give us things to say that are right from the throne of grace. How many are receiving it tonight? The Holy Spirit is speaking through me tonight. And He's speaking through His body. He's speaking through you as well. If we simply want to cooperate and be in union with Him and sanctify our hearts unto the Lord. Amen? We're going to leave the old man behind. We're going to press into the new. We're going to set our eyes on the prize. Looking at You, Jesus. And the more that we see Jesus, the more that we will reflect His image. It is not our request to God that bring about answered prayer. Okay, here's another challenge. It's not our request to God that bring about answered prayer. It is our faith to believe, listen, what has already been given us in Christ. Yeah. It's already been given to us. So it's not just your request. It's a matter of you believing that what God has said is true, and that is He's already given us every spiritual blessing. Wow. God, stretch me. I want to be stretched. You know, I want to stretch more into that place. We don't have to lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith in what God says. Faith in who God says you are. God says, I made you in my likeness. When you see me, Jesus said, you've seen the Father. And when we look at Jesus, we begin to see who we're supposed to look like. And the more that we see Him, the more we will look like Him. Because we're looking in the mirror. Made in the image of God. Ah, thank God that He is not just putting a patch on us, but He has been in the process of what? Transformation. And the transformation is in our thinking and the way that we think. If I start to think God's thoughts and speak God's words, then that's what we get. Oh, it's probably not going to happen anyways. Yeah. Decree a higher decree, right? But so often, I run into folks sometimes who are, you just listen to what they say. Now he's going to be just like his father, you know. Or that was just like, yeah, you know who. And it's, oh, I hope I'm not getting too close here. But you know, even to say, if you keep doing that, this is what's going to happen. If you keep talking to me that way, I'm going to get mad and we're going to have a fight. Well, guess what? You just lent fuel to that fight just by your words. Isn't it true? I've said it. And next thing you know, we're having it out. Keep messing with me. What we need to do is shift. Amen? Yeah. We need to change stations. Heaven station. There's no stress there. Life is good in the God zone. Thank you, Lord. It's not our request, but it's our faith to believe what God has already given us in Christ. And isn't it true that the more that we learn, the more that we realize what has been freely given to us in Christ? And the reason why people don't receive promises, first of all, is because they don't even know what they are. Right? But we got to know what they are so we can know it's freely given. And then by faith say, thank you, Lord, your word said it. I'm going to believe your word. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, the word really means desire even, when you pray. Do you know that God cares about even what you desire?
Yes.
It's not always about if it be your will. He also cares about your desires. As long as they're not, you know, operating in the wrong spirit, obviously. If we're not to consume it upon our lusts. But whatever things that you ask when you pray. What did he say? We've heard this before. Yeah. In other words, believe that it's already there. It's already done. It's already finished. Christ has finished the work. Through him we've transitioned into life, seated in heavenly places, where God has given to us all the spiritual access to all the spiritual blessings. But if you accept an identity that is not lining up with that truth, then the identity will tell you, I'm not worthy. God doesn't love me. God's mad at me. I did this today. God, you know. And the devil will be happy to help you out in that area too. Just make you feel as miserable and condemned as possible, because you can't come to God in faith and be condemned at the same time in your heart. You can't come to God in unbelief. Amen? And be operating in faith at the same time. So it's a choice. I'm going to either believe God or I'm going to believe the lie. God is the truth. And you shall know the truth. It sets you free from the lie, doesn't it? Oh, Jesus, we thank you. You know, we all know Psalms 37, verse 4, about delighting yourself. We've been talking about that. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. He wants to give you even your desires. God allows us to dream with Him. Yeah. Isn't it true? It's not all about what God wants. It's not that way with your kids, is it? Just what I say. No. You care about your child's feelings. You care about what they think is important as well. You realize that they are an individual, that they have different likes and dislikes. They have different desires. And God made us as individuals, as part, amen, of His whole body, but we're still a child of His, and therefore God cares about what we even desire. That's another thing. You know, sometimes our theology has taught us that we're just simply robots on remote control, you know? What do you say, God? We're going here? Okay, we're going to do this. All right. Yes, if God interrupts your day and says, go do this, you better do it.
That's right.
Yep.
But it's always a choice. Choose this day who you will serve. It's a choice whether you're going to obey Him or not. God does not force Himself. And sometimes people use theology to force people to do what they want. Or even to obey God, but still, they're operating in a different spirit. It can actually be a spirit of witchcraft, control and manipulation.
Right.
Amen? And intimidation. To get people to do what you want. Wow. How many know the Holy Spirit can handle the job?
Amen.
We got to stay out of the way of the Holy Spirit. God knows how to draw people. What we need is to be integrated. We need to be in an abiding union so that we are so one with Him that His thoughts begin to permeate our thoughts and we begin to speak what He's speaking. We begin to see what He's seeing. We are one with Him and then the life of Christ is manifested through us. That's what changes things. That's what changes hearts, changes lives, changes people. It's the Spirit of grace working through us.
That's right.
We're simply cooperating with God. And that's why we can even have a good time. We can throw in some humor. We can joke around. We can play. You know, as long as we're doing what God says to do. Not even our theology is going to draw them to Christ. It's the Word living in and through us. It's the manifestation of who He really is. That they're going to either desire that fruit or they're not going to want it. They're either going to love you or hate you. So that's what we want. Is again, it all comes back down to this one thing. And I want to just share three things real quick. Prayers and requests are the prayer of hope. Prayers and requests. Isn't that what 1 Timothy 2:1 says? First of all, amen, supplication, prayer. We are to pray. We are to bring our requests before God. It's important that we do that. But this is a prayer of hope. Proclamations and declarations are the prayers of faith. When you begin to decree, you begin to proclaim things, and you begin to see things shift in your world, in your environment. Why? Because we are cooperating with the Spirit. What God is telling us to do, we're going to do that. What He's telling us to say, we're going to say that. See, God wants to live in this world through you. Declarations and proclamations are the prayer of faith. It's also where we would command something, for example, in the name of Jesus to be healed. You know? It's changed everything where we've gone through just simply petitioning, which is part of it. But we then need to, when we petition, we need to hear what God is saying. And then we need to speak to it. That's the faith of God. That comes through impartation. Amen? God gives the faith to believe for a miracle or a healing. So that's when we begin to command demons and they will obey us. Jesus didn't say when you're confronted with an evil spirit to petition Him about it. As a matter of fact, He got upset with His disciples. Because they were not getting the victory over this demon spirit, remember? We need to command those things to go. Because it's already been given us in Christ the authority to do so. He's already told us what to do. We don't have to go back and say, God, should I? He said, do it. So if you're confronted with that, then you need the faith of God. That means when God activates something in you, that gives you a boldness and a tenacity and a resolve that you're not going to shrink back. You're not going to allow the devil to have victory. I've discovered something, that demons are like spoiled children. They act just like spoiled children. Now, stubborn. You know? But if you and I agree with God and say this is what we're called to do, we're called to get rid of these things that cast them out of people, what do? We come with a resolve, we stand firm, and we say, nope, it's not even an option. God has given us authority in His name to cast you out, and you will go in Jesus' name. And when you take a stand and you make a declaration of that sort, then they come to attention because they know this person knows who they are in Christ. You don't come and say, oh God, get the giant. David didn't do that. Are you with me? It's already in you. The river of life, Christ is in you. And I will say this once again, it has to be with integration. It has to be with submission to the Father, amen? That we're abiding in Him. And then they'll know who you are too. Now I want to say this, praise and worship are the prayers of love. I want you to think about that. This is where there's real intimacy. How many have discovered that our praise and our worship is just, it's glorious? Why? This is the heart of the Father. That we're delighting in our Father. We're delighting in our Lord. We're loving on Jesus. And we come to Him when we bring words with us. And we speak of His goodness. We boast on our God. We boast on our Father, amen? My Father is bigger than your father, the devil. Delight yourself in the Lord, where we have love. And as we are in that place again of integration in the Spirit, worshiping in spirit and in alignment with the truth, amen, of the Word of God, then... Hallelujah. There is a release of the fragrance, the life of Christ. Out of your belly begins to flow this river of living water. Yes. And this is something that will touch, amen, yes, people around us. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, you are making a difference, sometimes without even saying anything, folks. Just you coming into the room, when you're abiding in Christ, you're walking in Him, your very presence in that room can shift the atmosphere of that room. Why? Because of the awesome God that's within you. Because Christ is in you. We're not talking about the New Age movement that says your own impeccable Christ, okay? They're talking about resurrection of the flesh, of the sin man, of the sensual man. We're talking about the Spirit that we have received, the Spirit of adoption that cries out, Abba, Father. That greater is that Spirit in us than He that is in the world. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And out of that well, that reservoir of life, we will draw water. Amen? Living water. Hallelujah. With joy we shall draw water from Yeshua. And it will manifest. And we need to turn the tap on. And you turn the tap on by praying for people. You turn the tap on by laying hands on the sick. You turn the tap on by speaking what God is telling you to speak. And as you begin to turn the tap on, you'll find that water begins to flow out of you. And rivers will begin to flow. Ooh. It's in the place of delighting in God where His favor is poured into and out of your life. And I also wrote this down. If you're not in love with God, you're not going to be able to influence anybody else to love God. Yeah. If we are not in love with God, then we're not going to influence anybody else to be in love with God. And you may be able to scare them into submission and a lifestyle of works, but the heart of the person will not be in it. That's where you have legalism in churches, where there's really not a love for God. There's a form of godliness. There's a performance-driven thing. There's an intimidation and fear and having to live up to a standard lest they be judged by fellow brothers and sisters. Are you hearing me?
Yes, Lord.
and they're not walking in the liberty and the freedom and really understanding the heart of the Father, who is love, and walking in the love of God. When we are in love with God, we will be contagious. People will know this person really loves God. And our God is lovable. He is delightful. He is really good. He is really sweet. He is pleasurable. He is one to be desired. And so that's why we worship Him, that we might taste of Him, that we may experience a little bit more of Him. Do you know what? It's God's good pleasure for you to experience His joy. It's His good pleasure that you would experience His pleasures.
Yes.
He knows. We were made to be with Him. And there is no joy like the joy of the Lord. There is no peace like the peace of the Lord. And there's no love like the perfect love of our God. Amen. And as we worship in spirit and truth, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and we're integrated into Him, and just you living your life in this world with an ear tuned into heaven are going to influence and change things.